Good morning, West. I'm Amy Coles and have the joy of calling West my church home as I continue to work in our conference office with our bishop and support the ministries throughout Western North Carolina. So I am glad to be here with you on this second Sunday after Easter, and I'm glad to share and worship with you this morning. I want to say a special word of welcome to all those who are new here, and want to let you know that we have a gift for you. What you need to do is text the word welcome to 704-343-8955, and we will give you that gift. We won't inundate you with lots of other text messages, but we'll let you know what's happening and then decide how often you want to be contacted. So we do want to say a special word of welcome to all those who are with us by video today. As we begin, next Sunday, Andrea will be back and we'll be talking about life and faith when the smoke clears, life and faith through what happens from a German World War II survivor. And so what I wanted to do this morning was to kind of be a bridge, as in worship, to think about Easter and what it was like for the disciples after they realized that Jesus was raised from the dead, and be a bridge to what that can be in our own lives for when the smoke clears and how we might deal with that. But as we think about the reactions of the disciples, one of the things I think we need to remember is that we're looking back. We know the end of the story. And so we know that after the crucifixion, after a Good Friday, then came the resurrection and Jesus was alive, that evil had been defeated. But for the disciples, they didn't have viral videos. They didn't have social media. And so they were still living in the fear and the worry and the pain of watching their friend, their teacher, their master having been crucified. And they were scared. They thought the same thing was going to happen to them. And so they really couldn't even call Good Friday Good Friday. It wasn't until after, and they began to hear the tales from others about the resurrection, and they began to, actually some of them saw Jesus himself as he was alive again, that they could begin to lay claim to the good news that God had won, and that the worst things aren't the last things, but actually the last thing is the best thing, and that's something that Frederick Buechner has taught us, and I know Andrea has used it several times as a reminder about the good of Easter. So as we think today about what happens when the smoke clears, several images came to mind, and the first is that when the smoke clears, something good can happen. Several years ago, my nephew Brandon went to basic training at Fort Jackson. And on the day before he graduated, here is what we got to see as those who gathered together to celebrate with the graduates. As an aunt / caregiver, it was certainly wonderful to see those troops marching in through the smoke, especially after we hadn't had a whole lot of contact in the past 8 weeks, and to see what the Army had done and how Brandon had grown through that experience. A wonderful thing that happened as the smoke began to clear, but you know, that's not always the case. A few weeks ago, there were some tornadoes that went through Alabama and destroyed houses and homes. They even destroyed Reagan Chapel United Methodist Church. And you'll see from this picture that the steeple came down, and as the pastor, Bobby Boss, came and looked at that, this is what he saw when he drove up to the church. But you know, that wasn't the end of the story, because as he walked around that wall that was still standing, he saw this picture. for him, it became a sign of hope that actually God was continuing to work with them in their midst, that God would help them to rebuild, that Christ was still working. A final picture I want to share with you is, to me, what has happened this past week through our fog of pollen that has been all over our world. I've been able to see it, and it looks like it's been blowing across. But because of the rain from last night, as I drove up this morning, it just looks like a different world, that through that fog, through that smoke, that we see the beauty of God's creation, a sign that God is always doing new things. So this morning, as we think about what happens when the smoke clears, I want us to remember that new things can happen. I want to remind you of a saying by Ignatius of Loyola, who was both a priest and a theologian. And what he continues to remind us is that God is always working in our midst. So as we continue to worship today, let's see how God works with us, how God does continue to work in our midst, so that we might be able to hold on to hope and even find some joy once the smoke clears. In a recent devotional, Pastor Molly Baskett talked about how one of the enduring mysteries that we have is what exactly happened 2,000 plus years ago on that morning that we now call Easter. In the Bible, that library of 66 books and letters that we have that give us our faith history, both of the Jewish people and then of Jesus and the disciples after Jesus who carried on the message, we actually have four narrators that talk to us about this story of what happened on that first Easter morning. That's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the first four books that we find in the New Testament section of our Bibles. It's interesting to me that each of them tell the story a bit differently. Now, they all four say that Jesus died, that he was crucified on a cross. And they all say that it was the women, or at least one woman, who went to the tomb on that third day and were going to anoint Jesus's body for burial because that hadn't been done yet. But when they got there, that the stone had been rolled away, they found that the tomb was empty. But it's then that they diverge. And I want us to look at their different accounts to see what that can teach us and tell us about that Easter morning as we think about it this morning. Now, we think that the earliest gospel that was written is Mark's gospel. Mark doesn't have a lot of details. He just hits the high spots of Jesus's life. And so at the end of his gospel, here's what he says about that resurrection morning. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome were brought spices so that they could go and anoint Jesus' dead body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they came to the tomb. They were each saying to each other, "Who's going to roll the stone away from us, from the entrance for us?" And when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away. It was a very large stone. Going into the tomb, they saw a young man in a white robe seated on the right side, and they were startled. But he said to them, "Don't be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He's been raised. He isn't here. Look, here's the place where they laid him. Go tell his disciples, especially Peter, that he's going ahead of you into Galilee. You will see him there, just as he told you." Overcome with terror and dread, they fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Now, friends, what Mark tells us is that what happened to the women is they were scared to death. They didn't know what had happened. And so Mark says they didn't say anything to anyone. Well, if that had really happened, then I don't think you and I would be here today thinking about how the gospel message was spread to the ends of the earth. But we'll talk more about that later. But that's how Mark ends, with the disciples, with the women being afraid and the message just stopping right there. Now, if we look at Matthew and Luke, who wrote their gospels a little bit after Mark did, they tend to be a little bit more optimistic. Matthew, again, has the women going to the tomb, and they find that the tomb is empty, and they get ready to run and tell the disciples, and as they're going that way, they actually run across the risen Christ, and they want to hold on to him and hug him and be with him, and he says to them, don't, Don't be afraid. Go and tell my brothers that I'm going to Galilee and they'll see me there. Luke talks about it a little bit differently, that the women actually did return from the tomb and they talked to the 11 disciples and to others. And the disciples thought they were crazy. They were talking nonsense and didn't believe the women. But Peter, who had to find out for himself, went and runs and finds that the tomb is empty. And he leaves wondering what's happened. Later, Luke tells the story about Cleopas and a companion that are going back from Jerusalem back to their home in Emmaus. And Jesus joins them on that journey, and they recognize that it's the risen Christ. And again, that the story begins to be told, and they begin to believe in who it is. It's John that actually talks the most about the resurrection. When we look at John's story, it's actually just Mary Magdalene that goes to the tomb to anoint Jesus' body for burial. And when she realizes that the tomb is empty, she goes and runs and tells the others. And then Peter and John says the disciple that Jesus loved, which we think was John, they went running back to the tomb and they looked inside and they found that it was empty. And then they go back to tell others maybe, or at least to go back into hiding because they were afraid. But Mary, who's standing outside the tomb, looks and is crying and she's not sure what to do. And so she asks and she asks the angel that's there, she says, Where have you put the body? Can you show me where it is? And as soon as she said this, then she turns around and she sees Jesus there, but she doesn't know that it's Jesus. And Jesus says to her, Woman, why are you crying? Who are you looking for? Now, Mary thought Jesus was the gardener and said, Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've put him and I'll go get him. And Jesus said to her, Mary. Jesus called out her name and she turned to him and said in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. Jesus says, Don't hold on to me, for I've not yet gone to be with my Father, but go tell your brothers and sisters that I'm going to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God. And then Mary Magdalene left and announced to the disciples that I've seen the Lord. And then she told them what he had said to her. Rabboni, don't hold on to me. Jesus was alive. We have four different narrators of this final scene of Jesus' life. And in John even is going to take it even further as John's going to have Jesus going and meeting with the 11, or meeting with the disciples, except Thomas wasn't there, and showing that he was alive. And then a week later, Jesus is going to appear again among the disciples, this time with Thomas there. And he's going to offer to Thomas to put his hands in the nail prints and his hand in the side so that Thomas will believe. And then the final resurrection appearance in the Gospel of John is Jesus actually having breakfast with the disciples who had gone back to fishing. And so they have breakfast on the beach with their Lord and Master before he ascends to be with God in God's kingdom. So four different stories, all told a different way. Each one wanting to give hope to those who needed it, whose lives had been turned upside down, who weren't sure what had happened. We know a lot about that, don't we? You know, life can be really, really good. It can be glorious, like getting to see someone that you hadn't seen for 8 weeks or for a year. It can be wonderful, but there are also times that it can be a struggle. It can be really, really hard. It can be a kind of a year like we've had this past year that seems to be like a year of Good Fridays, a year of things were hard and struggling. And so we need a word of hope. We need a word to think about what we can hold on to. You know, I don't think the gospel writers really cared that they had different endings. I don't think that they were trying to make one story, and when we try to weave it together into one story, I think we're doing a disservice, because each of the gospel writers is telling it from their own perspective. telling it the way they saw it and the way they heard it, and telling it to audiences that needed a particular word of hope. They were writing in order to help. And what they wanted us to know that they weren't writing about endings, but they were writing about beginnings. That the crucifixion was not the end, but the resurrection was a new beginning to new life. The Easter story isn't a nice historical narrative about how Jesus died and went to live with God again in God's kingdom. But it's a story about how we might look past death and see the new beginnings. How we might be able to see how new things are born when somebody passes away. One of the enduring memories that I have when my father passed away unexpectedly was that as we left the waiting room where they shared with us that they weren't able to revive him, that to get back to our cars, we had to go past the nursery. And as we walked past the nursery, I remember glancing over and seeing all the babies there and thinking about the parents who were so excited and the grandparents and the big brothers and sisters who had just had a new life born into their family. Later, as I looked back, I don't know if the hospital had intended it that way, but God certainly did, at least in my life, to remind me that even in the end of my father's death, that I needed to remember that there was new life, that there were new beginnings, that God was always working in our midst, always laboring on our behalf to bring something new out of what had happened. One of the emails that I love to read every Sunday is by Maria Shriver. It's called The Sunday Paper. It's a harken back to when we used to actually get a Sunday paper. But I love to read what she has to say. And of course, lately, she's been talking a lot about the pandemic and particularly recently about what happens once we emerge from this pandemic or begin to emerge from it. And one of the things that she said that was important to me was this. She said, we can't come out of this pandemic and act as if nothing happened. We can't turn a blind eye to the pain and the grief that our fellow citizens have felt. We can't say to ourselves, oh, that happened in Atlanta or in Boulder or even this week. That happened in Rock Hill and those murders don't include us. We can't say something like, I've got a job, so tough luck to anybody who doesn't have one. Rather, Maria Shriver uses a word that I think has become a word that we've used a lot during the pandemic, and that is the word resilient. That we are a resilient people, that we are people that pick ourselves up and brush ourselves off and start again. And yet she asks us, what about if Easter is asking us to not rush ahead, to not pick up ourselves and go rushing ahead, but maybe if we should pause a little bit. Maybe Easter is an opportunity for us to think about what's happened, to empathize with the pain and the grief and the fear that others have felt. Maybe it's an opportunity for us to not go rushing back into what's normal as much as we want to do that. But maybe it's an opportunity for us to really commit ourselves to being better after we emerge from this pandemic. Maybe it's an opportunity for us to get together and do things together that we didn't do before COVID. Maybe it is an opportunity for new beginnings. You know, this past year has changed all of us. It's changed me. It's changed you. And I think we're called to see the new beginnings in that change. I know for some of you, maybe for lots of you, this pandemic has been filled with intense grief or intense fear. And that's hard, and I'm sorry. And if I could say anything to help you hold on to some hope during this time, during this darkness, what I would say is to follow what Mr. Rogers taught me a long time ago when I was a young child. He said, when I was a boy, I would see scary things And my mother would say to me, look for the helpers. You will always find people who are helping. So during this time where things still seem to be so painful, where you may be embraced in grief or in fear, not sure what's ahead, let me invite you to look for the helpers. Some of those helpers are our frontline workers. Others are those who have been willing to put signs out in front of hospitals or in front of fire stations or police departments saying, thank you. Thank you for what you're doing. Some folks are volunteering in the mass inoculation sites so that those lines can move quickly and smoothly and lots of people can get vaccinated. There are folks even this morning that are volunteering with the Taste of Buffalo Pizzeria to feed those who are hungry. They're the helpers. Look for them because what they're trying to do is just to show us that God is with us and to give us that light, to give us to be a light in the midst of the darkness, to give us hope. But you know, for others, you're doing okay. In fact, you might even say that you're doing pretty good. And so if you've been blessed, if you feel like life is a blessing for you, then rather than just looking for the helpers, let me put some words in Mr. Rogers' mouth and say, what I think we're called to do is to be the helpers, to be that picture of hope, that picture of joy for someone else as they move through their experience of the pandemic. Through the experience of life. You know, all it takes is a kind word, a thank you, maybe writing a note of affirmation, and you can brighten up someone's day. Sometimes it could be handing out a painted rock and putting it in somebody's mailbox so they get a surprise. Maybe it's helping someone or being that beacon of light and seeing what we can do to make somebody's life better. You know, we all know what it's like to, how one life can affect all other lives. This week we saw that in Rock Hill, tragically, how one person can ruin the lives of so many others. But friends, the same thing that can be true. We can be the helpers. We can be those who are willing to, when the smoke clears, show what it's good to others and help them move through that. So whether you need to look for the helpers or whether you need to be the helper, may we all be willing to remember that God is continually laboring on our behalf, that new beginnings come out of old, that resurrection does come after crucifixion, that Easter comes after Good Friday. Now, I said earlier as we were looking at Mark's gospel that Mark ends, his original ending was that the disciples were paralyzed in fear. The women were paralyzed. They couldn't tell anyone about what had happened. And interestingly, in later in the second and the third centuries, I think the smoke had cleared enough for those who were reading Mark's gospel that they figured out it wasn't quite complete. It wasn't finished. And so actually, Mark has two different endings to his gospel, newer endings that were added on to remind us that new life, new beginnings come out of old. The first one's rather short, and all it says is that after the disciples figured out what was going on, Mark sent them and told them to proclaim the good news. And then the second new ending was a little bit longer. And interestingly enough, what the writers seem to have done is weave together Matthew and Luke and John, and actually even some of the things that had happened in Acts, which tells the story of what happened to the disciples, the apostles, after the resurrection. And they weave that together and talk about that the disciples would heal the sick and the disciples would feed people and help people to gain a new understanding of Jesus. And once again, the words from Jesus, go and tell everyone the good news that I'm alive, that death did not win, but God wins, and that the last things are certainly not the worst things, that Easter is a new beginning, is a way of new life. I want to close this morning by using a poem by Elaine Hill. that was shared as the call to worship last Sunday at Lake Forest Church in Huntersville. In this poem, she talks about the smoke and the struggles that we've been through. And then she gives us some advice for what we need to do as we move forward. Listen, and I've asked Josh to put the words of the poem on the website, so if you want to go back and read it again, you can do so after today's message. Let us listen to Elaine Hill.
Last Easter, the shock shackled us to our couches and screens like a prison. No one was okay while we quietly scrambled for normalcy as it got up, walked away, replaced with indwelling fear. We feel it now still, a year when we thought each day it may pass. All we hear under our souls are stories of loss. Look down. The ground under our feet has shifted, our space has dwindled, routines and places that feel safe, a nagging grief, identities erased. What are we standing on? The shake and split, earthquake of doubt rocks our houses. How do we know where our feet may trod when everything we have come to depend on has crumbled? We struggle with grief. Humans robbed of humanity, we can't see why everyone is losing lives and what to believe. We know that grief and love bleed in the streets, stories of essential, meaning brave enough to stare into the face of humans with eyes full of fear, find frontline battlefields behind sanitation stations and hazmat suits, stories untold of silent suffering, because we don't know what has hit us, don't know if we ever will. Our silence screams. We look down, this unstable ground, souls showing frayed edges and scars. Our human hearts linger over lights that have moved into the night and left us here to sort through the ash of what once was. Hard to redefine what love looks like when we were already trotting a thin line. We miss maskless smiles. Eyes are burning with tears. We have not even had time to cry. People longing through glass plates and hashtags over loved ones without contact has the darkness won. But look, past the trees whose roots dig deep, the breeze moves limbs, the ease of light glistening through life. May be shaking from pieces that we are weak with holding together. Look up. We have weathered the ravage. Look up. The sun shines sure as day. We choose to look up. Shadow and light play in the forest, and we choose where we place our gaze. Up. We see the sky take lessons from pain. Up. We shake the dirt, invite fractured pieces to mend. Up. We learn to breathe. Let blossoms emerge from rain. Up. Our gaze will soften, allow light to shine. Up. We open to joy, find rivers rushing in. Up. Even when the ground quivers, the sky burns with blue blazes. Look, hope is invited, inviting you towards the pulse of life, newness, laughter unbridled. We choose where our gaze takes us. Breathe. Look up.
Look up. Look up and see where God is working in our midst. Let us now continue to worship. Friends, let's look up. Let's see where God is continuing to work in our midst. Let us look up so that we can see the helpers. Let us look up so that we can be the helpers. Friends, we're not going back to normal as we emerge out of this pandemic. And that's a good thing. In fact, that's the promise of Easter. So let us go forth in that new life, in that new beginning, and have a great week.